strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. I don't know about you, but that's hard. It's hard to look at those things and say, well, you know, I'm happy because I get to suffer for the Lord. I get to you know, be in something and you know, just God be glorified through the things that I'm going through. Happy are ye, the Bible says. Look at verse 14 again. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Since some of you are wrapping up real good, I'll hit it up a degree or two. It was hot in here a little while ago. But I'm comfortable, so you got to be freezing. Happy are ye. Can you really say that? Why does the Declaration of Independence say life, liberty, and doesn't say happiness? It says the pursuit. Do you know what the rights, you know, these are inalienable rights. You have the right to life, unless you're an unborn in the womb. Think about it. That's what, you know, that's really the reality. Life, liberty. Governments that don't allow you to have your inalienable rights from God, your liberty, are usurping the right that God gave you, the pursuit of happiness. You're not guaranteed happiness. You know what happiness? Happiness is a state of mind. Look at the passages. Happy are ye. It's a choice you make. You say, well, you know what? I'm going through something in my life and I'm just miserable. Well, you're miserable because you want to be. That's why. If you and I could change our mindset and look at things and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow the world to determine my happiness. I'm not going to allow the world to determine whether I have joy or not have joy or whether I'm happy or unhappy. I'm going to let God determine that, and your relationship with God will determine it. Back to liberty in this country. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death at the Second Virginia Convention. He was credited with swinging the balance, convincing the convention to pass a resolution delivering Virginian troops to the Revolutionary War. You know, Patrick Henry said some other good things too. He said, it is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. You know where we are today? People have forgotten God. You know what it talks about in the Old Testament about the nation that forgets God? That's where we're getting. Patrick Henry said, it is when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. Chains will come because God is given second place. You know why you won't have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this country eventually? Because people have forgotten God. They're inalienable rights given to us by God, not by government. It's not the judicial system, the legislative system, or the executive branch that gives us those rights. They are rights given to us from God, and that's why this country has been around as long as it has. It's been an experiment that's worked for a long time. But where are we with the Constitution today? It's being ignored, trampled, ripped up, burnt. I mean, maybe not literally, but that's what's happening. You know, William Penn warned, those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. Those not governed by God, William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, he said, those who will not be governed by God will be ruled by tyrants. Daniel Webster, you know what he said? Miracles do not cluster, and what has happened once in 6,000 years, talking about this country, may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution. For if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world. That was Daniel Webster. He's the guy that wrote the dictionary, or brought it together in 1828, one of the first English dictionaries ever. And what did he say? He said, listen, if the Constitution should fail, it will impact the rest of the world. You know what happened in World War II? America didn't want to get into the war. Then Japan attacked us in Pearl Harbor, and we got into that war. And if we wouldn't have gotten into that war, then Nazism would have taken over the whole of Europe, would have taken the whole of Africa, would have come over here eventually. It's because of America and the liberties and the blessings of God, and we've lost those blessings because we've forgotten God. When a nation forgets God, God lets them go their own way. You look at the year 2020, it's going to go down as an infamous year, if not the last one, the way things are looking. And we've got to decide how important God is. He must be given the preeminence. He must be supreme. Alexis de Tocqueville traveled to America in 1831. He was going into the prisons and he was going to look at the prisons and see how America's prisons were running. But he wrote a book called Democracy in America. In there, I've got a couple of quotes from. The American Republic will endure until the day Congress discovers that it can bribe the public with public funds. Wonder where we are today. You can have a free cell phone. You can have free housing. You can listen, if you have another baby, we'll give you more money. Just don't have a daddy at home. That's our country right now. That's what the government has done. He said, whenever Congress finds out that they can basically bribe the public, they can buy votes. That's what everything's about. Well, did you hear what this candidate said? He said that he'll take care of all your school debt if you'll just vote for him. Well, he got my vote then. No, he doesn't get my vote because I paid for my school. Or I served for 4 years in the military in order to have my school paid for. He also said this. Nothing is more wonderful than the art of being free. But nothing is harder to learn how to use than freedom. You know what our problem is? We have too much freedom. But then when it's taken away, we have too little freedom. The freedom we have when it's abused becomes the problem. And then the government's got to come in and institute draconian policies in order to take those freedoms away because of the abuse of the freedoms that we do have and we do deserve. He also said, liberty cannot be established without morality, nor morality without faith. Liberty cannot be established without morality, and morality without faith. He goes on, when the taste for physical gratifications among them has grown more rapidly than their education, the time will come when men are carried away and lose all self-restraint. Sound like in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Sounds like that, doesn't it? It is not necessary to do violence to such a people in order to strip them of the rights they enjoy. They themselves willingly loosen their hold. They neglect their chief business, which is to remain their own masters. One more from Alexis de Tocqueville. I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers. This is 1831, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Where are we? We are right there, right now. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. That's what Alexis de Tocqueville said when he came from France over to this country in 1831. Listen, I love America. Amen? We put our flag out there, and it was a big deal to many of you and a big deal to me. And I salute that flag. I meant to do the Pledge of Allegiance this morning. In fact, let's all stand together, and we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance because I want everybody to understand, I pledge allegiance to that flag. Let's go. I pledge allegiance. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. I love America. I'm a patriot. I believe that patriotism is important. This country is far from perfect, but with all of its faults and frailties, it's still the greatest nation on earth. We are to be evangelizing the world. Where we've lost that focus, we've lost our purpose. And that's where we are. Back to the context of our text passage, James chapter 1 this time. James chapter 1, the perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. By the way, you know what you ought to be? You ought to be a doer and not just a hearer. When God speaks to you about something, you ought to do what the Bible says. Not just be a hearer, but a doer. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. The perfect law of liberty. You know what we need? We need people that don't have a vain religion like it talks about here. We need people that are doers of the word and not hearers only. We need a church that's like that, where we love God and we're not just out here just talking the talk, but actually walking the walk. Amen? Look at some other verses on liberty. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 19. Here is the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1 versus those that will promise you liberty. 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is he brought in bondage. They promise them liberty. Look at the context starting in verse 17. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. Listen, there are people that promise you liberty, but they aren't out there to give you liberty. They're to entangle you in this world. I preached a message the other day, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Listen, we need to disentangle a little bit. not be so caught up in everything that's going on around the world. I mean, listen, I have not seen the news for at least 2 weeks. I saw one clip of one thing where the man had a gun, had a rifle, and the woman had a handgun. That's the only thing I've seen in 2 weeks. I'm blessed. He said, well, you don't understand. Everything's going to pot. No, listen, I'm just going to do what I've been doing all along, serve the Lord. He said, well, you don't understand what's going on. I don't need to see what's going on. I know what's going on. They're promising you liberty, and all they're going to do is take it all away. That's what's going on. There's turmoil being created and stirred, the pot's being stirred, and everybody's going, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Get rid of the police. Oh, no, wait until you find out, whenever they've gotten rid of the police, how much the police are going to need to crack down. It's going to go from one extreme all the way to the other. Listen, I already see it. Get rid of the police, they say. And then they do in certain areas, in certain pockets, and find out what a disaster that is. And then they're going to turn around and say, no, we need 10 million more police. We need gray shirts. We need a new police system. We need laws like up in Detroit that come from Muslim countries so that they can take care of us. That's where it's heading. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We have great liberty, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know why you have such liberty here? You know why I have liberty in this pulpit? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You have the Spirit in you, you have liberty. Christianity is liberty. When we went to countries in World War II, what did we do? We liberated them. With what? Well, yeah, with guns and tanks and bombs. And yeah, we had to do all that, but the point was we didn't stay there and become a conquering force. We gave them liberty, and what they did with that liberty was up to them. What you do with your liberty is up to you. Don't lose what you've got. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Look at Galatians chapter 2. When you have a positive, you got to look at the negative. Here's the negative in Galatians chapter 2 for even in churches. People try to steal the Christian's liberty. Galatians 2:4. And they, because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, look, people came in to spy out our liberty. Listen, there are people that will infiltrate churches. There are groups that are, you know, if you look at the Jesuit priests, you know what they were to do? They were going to come in and they were going to infiltrate churches. They infiltrated the schools. And that's our problem in the schools. That's our problem in many of the churches that go around and they try to find out, well, how do we please you? And let's make our church like that so that we can give you what you want. Church isn't like that. Church is to glorify God. Edify one another, glorify God, give Him the preeminence. Any church that gets away with that is not a church. It's not. So they can't, you know, they can fake it. They can draw in multitudes of people. I mean, listen, the masses will come to have their ears tickled. If you just tell them what they want to hear, listen, you're all right. You can do what you want, live like you want, do what you please. And what it pleases you is what you need to do. That's what they'll tell them. No? Speak the truth in love. I believe that. I want to have gracious words. Like Jesus talked about, you know, what it said about Jesus' words in Luke 4. You know what the gracious words are, though? They're the Bible. I am not going to stand up here and tell you everything's okay in your life if you're living like a devil. Everything's okay in your life if you don't serve God and worship Him and evangelize the world and be a good ambassador. I'm not going to tell you you're all right. But that doesn't mean I don't have gracious words. I've got them. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know when you're going to lose your liberty? It's when you start quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit. No liberty in that. Look at Galatians 5:1. He says, stand fast in Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's why it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are the contrary the one to the other, so ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. You know what our liberty is? We don't have this law given to the nation of Israel to tell us, you know, all these things to do and all these foods to eat and all these days we've got to do this Sabbath and that Sabbath and this special day and that special day. We have a lot of liberty in Christ Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Because it's easy to do. It's easy to do. All you do is you look at it and you say, well, you know what? It's pretty good. I can do whatever I want. But what is it you want? People say to me, they'll say, well, you believe in once saved, always saved. You think you can do anything you please. And I look at them and I say, you know what pleases me is to please the Savior. What? I said, yeah, I have a choice. I can serve the Lord or not serve the Lord. It is my choice. And as I choose the right choice, the greater my liberty is. When I make the wrong decisions and make the wrong choices and serve self rather than serving the Savior, that's where I lose my liberty. I lose it because I've abused it. You have great liberty. Don't use liberty. Don't abuse your liberty to serve your flesh. Just like Jesus, when He washed those feet, He said, you may not understand what I'm doing, but you'll understand later. Do you understand? I hope so. Listen, it's not about washing feet. It's about serving one another. That's what I love this church because, listen, this is a serving church. And you got to be careful because there will be people that will take advantage of that. And listen, it can be done. But don't ever let them squelch your willingness to serve. The truth shall make you free. That's why we're free in this country. Because we've had the Bible. You know what the devil does? The devil says, well, I'll give you 250 different choices of the Bible. Oh, copyrighted so that Nelson and Zondervan and all those places can make some money on it. There's only one truth. It's God's Word. And it's not just because you call it God's Word. Listen, we have liberty. Use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. Let's all stand together. And let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct in all things. And Lord, I just pray that you would take this message, Lord, on liberty and help us to truly enjoy and appreciate the liberty that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you touch our hearts right now and help us never to take that for granted. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, we don't open up the altar right now unless God's dealing with you about something that you just cannot deal with yourself where you are. But I want you to just search your heart, figure out where you are spiritually, and make sure you're right with God. Pray for one another. You know what the Bible says? The prayer of a righteous man is effective, effectual. You live right. Listen, you can impact the lives of others. That's what you're promised. Pray for one another. Love one another.